Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. I hope you get this message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents took me to the Upper Michigan Winter Unicycle Festival. The festival doesn't exist anymore, but at that time the event was considered a big deal. Thousands of people would arrive in Manistee, Michigan to watch and participate in the popular wintertime unicycle event. Norm, Manistee is located in northern Michigan, and the city is situated alongside Lake Michigan. Manistee gets 120 inches of snow every winter. The participants in the unicycle event were expected to ride a one-wheel unicycle down a 2-mile-long oval track. The snow on the track is packed down by large industrial steam rollers. The unicycles must be fitted with wide, air-inflated tires that possess deep rubber treads and metal cleats. Norm, unicycles are one-wheeled bikes. The operator sits on a seat that is elevated above the bike frame. The unicycle has two pedals. The operator balances the unicycle by pedaling while seated on the unicycle seat. Most people cannot operate a unicycle. I had been using a unicycle since I was 8. I considered myself an expert unicyclist, which is why my parents entered me into the Manistee Winter Unicycle Festival. Norm, the winner of the Manistee Winter Festival Unicycle Competition, got a $500 check and a trophy. The rules were simple. All unicyclists lined up in a row at the track start line. Each unicyclist would mount their unicycle when the horn was blown. The first unicyclist that crossed the finish line won. If a unicyclist got off the unicycle at any time, they were automatically disqualified from the event. Norman, the participants could wear any zany outfit they wanted. Because I sported 40 double D melons and an ass to die for, I wore a plastic see-through brassiere and plastic transparent panties. I also wore 5-inch tall, stiletto heels that had been modified to fit the pedals of my unicycle. It was a nighttime event. However, the entire oval track was lit by large overhead lights. My mother altered a battery-powered forehead lamp that I wore for the event. The headlamp had 5 LED lights. 2 lights were pointed at my monster jugs, 2 lights were pointed at each of my thighs, and 1 light was aimed at my sweet ass. Norm, on the evening of the competition, all the riders were lined up and ready to go. When the horn blew, the riders mounted their unicycles and headed down the track. Norm, while I balanced my unicycle and pedaled my way to victory, I felt a sudden sharp jab to my luxe genitals. And then I felt it again. At some point, the crotch area of my plastic panties came apart, and a giant 2-inch in diameter by 14-inch long dildo rose up and out of my unicycle seat. The dildo pounded its way into my young fuck hole. Norm, I was taking an enormous dildo to the pussy as I pedaled my way down the track. But how? Why? As I pedaled, the dildo moved in and out of my wet, hungry, meat-eating hole. I climaxed hundreds, if not thousands of times. I came, and I moaned, and I moaned, and I came. I could smell the stink of burning flesh coming from my pussy. Norman, one of the LED lights aimed at one of my delicious thighs moved, and it somehow got pointed at my face. Everyone standing alongside the oval track saw how my eyes were dilated and rolled back as I came. They saw my lower jaw go limp and drop open. They saw saliva pouring from the edges of my mouth. And they heard my orgasmic howls. While I tried to keep the unicycle upright, I pinched my nipples and massaged my needy perspiring chest cannons. At one point, I got too close to a tree branch near the edge of the oval track, and my transparent brassiere and panties were torn clean off. Norman, someone had mounted a remotely controlled dildo machine under my unicycle seat. Before I knew what was happening, the Titanic-sized dildo extracted itself from my freshly rototilled cunt, and it drove itself deep into my large colon. While the monster dildo explored the rim of my asshole and the internal workings of my deep female colon, I began to lose control of my unicycle. I was all over the track. I looked drunk, but I wasn't. All I knew for sure was that my stilettos and underpants were gone. Vaginal juices dripped from my throbbing box like a leaky garden hose. Norman, I was in pleasure overload. I grayed in and out of consciousness, and then I blacked out. Norm, when I regained consciousness, I was lying naked on a cot inside a heated trailer. The police impounded the unicycle and the dildo machine. My panties and brassiere were not recovered. They never found the person or persons that installed the dildo machine under my unicycle seat. However, there were reports of a 1969 Ford Econoline van parked in the woods near the Winter Festival unicycle track. Norm, I didn't win the Manistee Winter Unicycle Festival, but I did have trouble walking for the rest of the school year. I had really been cracked good. While I was inside the heated trailer, holding an ice pack on my swollen, banged-out cunt, a man sat near me and he said,
"One time when I was a kid, my father was standing in a line to buy a pumpkin. It was Halloween time. I was sitting on my old man's shoulders. My legs were resting on my dad's chest. There was maybe 30 people waiting in line in front of us. A man waiting in line behind us injected my father with a chemical that causes people to go into a coma. He used a syringe. While my dad stood there frozen, unable to do or say anything, the man cornholed me, and then he slammed my head into a 50-pound bag of Old Roy dog food like 20 times. When the dude was done with me, he loosened my dad's pants belt. My pops started coming around, so the dude gave him another shot. My pop's pants fell to the floor, and the man cut off his underpants using a switchblade knife, and he cornholed my father right there in front of everyone. When the dude was done with us, he put me back on my dad's shoulders. Only I wasn't wearing any pants and both my eyes were black, and I was facing the wrong way. It looked like I had been in a fight. It was a bad scene, man. Someday I will find this fucker, and I will kill him."
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, be careful if you're ever entered into a wintertime unicycle competition. You could take a dick. I did. Now I must go. Norm, I call you all the time, but you never call me back. What gives? Could you please excuse me? I want to smoke some weed while I vibrate the shit out of my clitoris and asshole. Of course, I'll be doing all this while I lay atop my deceased grandmother's cum, whiskey, shit, piss, and nicotine-stained spring mattress. Oh. 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 Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
Hang on, will ya?
So first thing I should tell you is that I've got a slightly sore throat. And the reason I got a slightly sore throat is because I broke one of the number one fucking rules I always preach about when I do any recording like this. And that is, I ate out some pussy over this fucking past weekend. Sunday night. I ate some pussy out, and I shouldn't eat pussy out because that's the number one commandment you don't do. You never eat out some chick's pussy because they're psychological effects. She's trying to break you down and serve her like you're a goddamn, like she's a queen or something, and you're a servant. You're somebody there servicing or waiting on her. I never eat out a chick. The second reason is it has psychological repercussions, and the third reason is it has physical repercussions. They're lasting repercussions that will be with you to the day you die. So I never eat out some chick's pussy, but I recently ate out some chick's pussy, and I'm sorry I did. It felt like I swallowed Brillo pads. Hello?
Is this Norm?
Yeah?
You destroyed my daughter's cunt.
Who is this?
Your dick split my little girl in half.
Who am I speaking to?
Your dick was too big for my daughter's pussy.
You got the wrong number.
You should have pulled your dick out, you dirty cock bastard.
I said you got the wrong number.
The doctors say the shock of taking your big dick caused a nerve ending in her right eye to explode.
Don't know what you're talking about.
My daughter's gotta wear a black eye patch the rest of her life.
I'm not gonna continue this.
You dirty cock bastard. My daughter will never love again.
Whatever you're talking about has nothing to do with me.
You split her seam. Your big dick paralyzed her. her.
Baloney.
She'll never walk again because of your giant cock.
More baloney.
She's brain dead.
Can't help you.
Her pussy looks like it's been rototilled.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your horse dick should be shot off.
You've got the wrong number.
My baby is brain dead, motherfucker. She can't feel her pussy.
Don't call this number again. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have answered the phone. It's that simple. Anyways, felt like I swallowed Brillo pads. I don't know what was the matter with me. All I can tell you is I was completely wasted, and that happens. You know how your id, you got your id, your super id, your ego. I dropped all that shit in my mind once I was too wasted, and I did all the shit that I never would do. I became this hedonistic fucking animal, and I've hurt my voice because from eating her out. When I ate her out, it felt like I swallowed scouring pads. Brillo pads, is that what you call them? Sink scouring pads? It felt like I ate those because I ate her out for hours and hours and hours. I just didn't fucking stop. There was not even a reality to me. It's like I was in a jungle. She had a big, hairy pubic mound, and I was down there for hours. And when I did look up, all I saw was like brush, like I was lost in brush, like I was lost in the fucking woods, because I was looking through her pubic mound with these wasted eyes, with this body that had gone south, is that what they call it, on dope. I was wasted. I looked up sometimes. I looked through her pubic hairs. I kept eating her out, eating her out, eating her out. And why was I doing that? Why does any man do that? A, because you think, wow, I'm eating her out, man. I'm down there. I'm special and shit like that. But somehow the other reason is because you're like, wow, I'm eating her out. I'm going to please her. I'm going to give her an orgasm she's never had in her life. I'm going to please her. She's going to talk about me. I'm going to be popular. Popular on the other side. Not popular in this world of social media and all that, but popular on the other side. I'll be popular. Yeah, this is going to be good for me. I'm going to eat her out, eat her out, eat her out till she comes. Why in the fucking world would you meet somebody that you don't even know from Adam and want to go down there and eat her out and please her? She wouldn't please you ever. She'd run you over in a fucking car. She has a baseball bat and her friend on the passenger side. They'd swing it in your fucking back of your head as they're going past you. Why would I want to please a complete fucking stranger? I don't know. I don't have any idea. It's something that happens in the moment. In the moment, nothing else matters. She could fucking have millions of dollars in the bank. She could have this. She could have that. All that matters then is that you own her. All her guards are supposedly down. She's naked and you got the gist of her. You got the core of her, the skeletal frame of her, and you're taking this just action on her. I don't really know what it is, and I've got a sore throat from doing it. She got up. She slipped in shit. There was all kinds of juice around. I'd lubed up her shithole. She slipped in the juice. She went over the goddamn living room counter. The juice from her pussy. She crashed in the living room counter, landed on her back, and, you know, it didn't really go good from that because of what we were doing. That's what happens when you're doing. What's the long-term repercussions to that is, I don't know if I didn't get throat cancer. I mean, I'm Norm Augustinus. I don't want to get throat cancer from some slut that I'll never see again, from some slut that I would put one right between her eyes, from some slut that I've chased through the fucking woods when she's naked like a horror movie with a machete. And I've done shit like that, and I'll continue to do stuff like that. Why? Because women love it, man. You haven't lived until you've done that. If you're some imbecile who take your chick out on Friday night to some pizza place or Chuck E. Cheese's, or whatever, she doesn't want that, stupid. You got to be dense in the mind to think she wants that. She wants to be naked, being chased through the woods with her jugs, big bouncing tits, with me chasing her with a machete. They want you to chase them with a machete, so long as you don't swing it through their neck. That could happen. You could get carried away. But you could get oral sex from that. I mean, oral fucking disease from that. You could get throat cancer from eating her out. That's why my voice is a little bit raspy today. That and the fact that I smoked about 6 handfuls of Pinconning Paralyzer. It just rapes your voice. She's laughing. She's enjoying it. She's undulating. She's down there blasting fucking farts and pussy farts in your way. There is no more reality when it happens. Pussy farts and fucking shithole farts mixed together to create this haze, this hallucinogen that nobody knows about or talks about, that you stay trapped in down there as you're looking through the forest of her pubic hairs, the fucking tumbleweeds of her pubic hairs. You're looking through that, and man, you are alone. You're on your own. That's what it's like. Look at the tumbleweeds on my own in a desert. It's fucking dark. It's cold. It's lonely. It's empty. I'm out here. I'm on my own fucking trying to perform here now. I gotta pull this off. That's what it's like. You never eat some chick out because you will get throat cancer. And when you call her up years later, she will hang the phone up on you. I'm sorry, I don't know you. Pardon me? I don't want to talk to you. Sorry about that. That was years ago. I'm married now. I don't want nothing to do with that. She's killed 10, 12 fucking people in a line of people, 15 people of men. She's raped their voice. They're talking through something that looks like a dildo, man. The dildo you had crammed in her ass that you put in there with a fucking rubber mallet. And talking through that in the side of your voice box. They don't care. They never cared. Even when you're with them, even if you're married, they've got two other people they're fucking when you're not there. When you're operating the screw machine 8 hours a day at some factory 10 miles, 20 miles from your house. I'll be right home soon. What can I get you, darling? Be home soon. So I just wanted to warn you about my goddamn voice because it's slightly been ajar. It's slightly ajar. And what I told you is the honest to God truth. I have done this repeatedly, even though it's my number one thing. I got a little Bible, a handwritten Bible I have. That's the number one thing. Do not eat out the bitch. Do not eat her out the bitch because you're going to suffer. You've got no voice years later. You're talking raspy. She's in a $600,000 house and she's killed 10 men and you're living in a fucking apartment that's $900, $800 a week on Social Security. And what did you get for giving her an orgasm? Not a goddamn thing, imbecile. They wouldn't loan you 50 cents for a phone call if even you ever could find a payphone, would they? Could you help me out? Remember the time I pleased you? Remember the time I gave you orgasms? Let you fucking use my pecaning paralyzer? Let you use my goddamn bathtub? Gave you my socks and gave you my underwear because I fucked yours up so bad with cum and rippage and tearage? Just disintegrate. I gave you all that. Now what? Help me out, huh? They ain't gonna help you out. They're not ever gonna help you out, fuckstick. Why? Because you're dumb. You don't have the skills of Norm Augustinus, and I've been presenting here for 25 fucking years. You don't have these skills, and these are tried, tested, and true, honest to God. I want to talk about something, man. I want to talk about something that happened just on Sunday night, I'd say. Sunday evening. It wasn't dark yet. It gets dark in Michigan at 5 o'clock. When I say evening, it's really quite early. Actually, in reality, quite early. I get a thing on my door, a knock on my door, and a person comes. It's an assistant to a game warden. It's a DNR officer, and she hands me a ticket, and she says it's a citation. I said, a citation for what? I already talked to this game warden about the ice fishing shanty falling through the ice, and I've already taken care of that, steps to remedy that. She said, well, it's not that. It's an actual citation, because I didn't get any citations for the ice fishing shanty falling through the ice. She said this is an actual citation for something that's occurred on the ice as people were walking past my location where my ice fishing shanty was. And it's a citation. When I open up the thing, it says, I owe $175 for the citation. What's the citation? It said lewd or extraordinarily what's the next word? Lewd or extraordinarily something act. That's what the ticket was for, handwritten in there. Now, what they're talking about is this ticket that I just got from my ice fishing shanty. Now, what's happened is this. It warmed up. It warmed up a couple weeks ago. It started to warm up. The water thawed right away on the lake. Turned to water. My ice fishing shanty fell through. When it fell through, there were some things floating on top of the water inside that were inside my ice fishing shanty. But I didn't get a citation. I didn't get a fine. Nothing for that. What was floating on top of the water was this. A king cock double penetrator dildo in a torso. It was a torso and a king cock double penetrator. Now, the torso is only a torso. It's a woman's female torso, like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And it's got no head. It's got a neck. Now, they always put necks on the torsos because you need to thrust onto the neck, the shoulder area, to clutch onto it when you turn around and you bang out the torso in a lifelike shithole or the lifelike cunt. You want to have something to grip onto. But the arms are gone. You don't need her arms, and the legs are gone. There's not even kneecaps. They're cut off about midway through the thigh. Those are gone on the torso. But they always leave the neck on so you can grab it, so you can look at it. If your eyes are slightly cracked and you're pumping her from the rear, you might look up and just see the neck area and all that. And they know right where it looks so goddamn real. Even the skin is pink and it's got blotching and stuff. It's that real. Well, the torso that I have, and other women use it too when I've had them in my shanty. Women that like to use a strap on and stuff, they'll pump out my torso, my lifelike rubber torso, and it's kind of a turn on. You see that? You see her pumping this person. You kind of see what the way she wants you to pump her. She's showing you the way she wants to pump you. She's engaged. She wants to live life for everything it's got. And I've had more women pump that torso in as much as I pump it. I pump it to keep myself in tone because I don't want my bag of semen to dry up. I don't want my cum bag, my Ziploc bag, whatever you want to call it, freezer lock bag. I don't want it to dry up and there's no more cum. You've got to keep yourself in tone. You got to keep pumping off to keep your pump-off machine keep producing cum. Chicks like fresh hit. They like fresh cum. So you pump off regularly. You got things to help you pump off, like the torso. And that's a good thing. Women like that. And that's what I have with the torso. So the torso floats up to the surface, and people started to complain. They started to complain. They wanted the torso out of there. It was in my ice fishing shanty. And then the other thing floated up, and that was a king cock double penetrator dildo. The king cock double penetrator dildo was monstrous. It's gigantic. It must be 14 inches high. In fact, they give you a warning on the king cock double penetrator dildo made of this very dense rubber. I don't know how they make it. They give you a warning that says, warning, if you have carpal tunnel syndrome, don't lift this up with a single hand. That's a warning on it. And what does that mean? Well, people with carpal tunnel syndrome, there's a hole inside your wrist, an opening, and all your cables in your arm go through that opening. Now, carpal tunnel syndrome is when those cables, those lines, those wires, nerves, whatever they are, blood vessels, when they start to rub on this opening that they're inside of, the open hole, when they start to rub on the edge of the open hole, and then you get carpal tunnel syndrome, this tingling in your fucking hands and shit like that. It actually came, the King Kong double penetrator dildo, actually came with a warning that said it was heavy, and it could cause your carpal tunnel syndrome to flare up, which is kind of nice. It's kind of nice. You need to know that. But also, on the other hand, in the mind of Norm Augustinus, it's this. I think, fucking A, man, this is dense. This is heavy duty. This is going to do some goddamn damage. This is a powerful, fucking heavy, solid dildo that I'm going to cram into some chick's cunt. And it has two dildos. The one dildo on the one side is 3 inches in diameter and 14 inches long. The other dildo on the other side is about 2.5 inches in diameter, and maybe it's 9 inches long, and they're connected. Have you ever seen a tree that starts to branch off? It's one single tree, but somewhere along the line, one of the fucking twigs, one of the damn sprigs on it, one of the damn things started to grow and turned into a tree and wasn't never knocked off, and it started growing another tree out the side of that tree, and it kind of Y off. That's what the King Cock double penetrator dildo looks like, and it floated to the surface too. It's amazing. When you show a chick the King Cock double penetrator dildo, and I've done this a million times, when they see the King Cock double penetrator dildo, they freeze. It's so big, it's so impressive, it's so scary, they think, I don't think I can take that. Now, they know how much they can take. I told you a story years ago about helping a chick at university that I went to. I went to university, and I helped a chick take her shit to the junk room. And when I took the shit to the junk room, to the right of the junk room was a massive dildo that had rolled its way to the edge of the wall, to the side of the wall. You know, well, you can't walk any further. There's a fucking wall there. And it was laying right there. And when I picked it up, she said, don't pick that up. First thing I did was smell it. It was definitely smelled like pussy. The second thing I did was look at and be marveling at. I marveled and was awed and amazed by the lines that were drawn onto the side of the dildo. They were lines that this chick was using to see how big her cunt could go, how wide her cunt could go, how deep it could go. She was measuring inches, and that's how women learn. There was actual lines on it. It was fucked. This thing was gigantic, and it was stopped short of lines maybe an inch from the end of the dildo where you'd clutch onto with your hand. And it stopped fucking short there, and I figured that was probably painful at that point. There were lines all the way up and down it, but she wanted to know how much dick she could take. Can you imagine walking in that room with that bitch when she was at the fullest line that was on it and you walked in on her? She couldn't just pull it out. That'd take a minute, man. That was deep. That was really gripping. It was really working her pussy. She couldn't just drop it. You could have probably joined in on some shit like that when the dildo was that deep. But they need to know how deep their pussy is for every man they come across, because they fuck nonstop. All they do, man, is take dick. They're hunting. They're predatory. They're predatory. They're hunting always for dick, always for fucking meat. They need dick. They need meat. They need validation. It never fucking stops. I've told you what that formula is. You just won't believe it. You got a chick. Look at her tonight when you go home or whatever. Look at her when the car. Look at her. This is a math formula you need to do. Every fucking cram and jam. Every thrust that you do as you're pumping your bitch out puts in about 5 inches of fucking schlong at one thrust per second. 5 inches of schlong, one thrust per second for 10 minutes. You're fucking. Now, when I say 5 inches, I'm just talking an average cock, not like your correspondent's. Your correspondent's size of his dick. So that maybe equals 3,000 inches per fuck. I just gave you that. Every thrust, every jam, every cram, every hump action of you putting your cock inside that woman's hole, you're schlong at one thrust per second for 10 minutes. You count that. So that's maybe, let's go 3,000 inches per fuck. There are 63,360 inches in a mile. So that bitch needs to screw about 21 times to take 1 mile a dick. Can you imagine it? Your bitch is taking a mile a dick a month. She's taking it, man. It doesn't look so dainty anymore, does it? They don't look so fresh, so glowing. They always have to fucking glow. They got their serums and they must glow. They don't have that glow shit on. You see an old, tired, goddamn face with huge pores the size of number two Ticonderoga pencils. That's what you see in a fucking face that looks like it's a tanning job that an Indian did in 1875. That's what their fucking face turns into. Now, the average cock I base it on is 5 inches. Not on the side of my cock. They can't stop taking meat. That's what chicks want. They're hunting for meat, hunting for meat, hunting for meat. The most horrible thing you ever see is some old bag, 70 years old, and you're going to visit her at some retirement home or some older complex or whatever it is. She ain't getting dick anymore. She's really pissed off. God really sold her out. Dried out cunt, no more juice, no more undulations, the muscles in it are all fucking rotted out. She can't take a dick, and she ain't taking dick, so she's pissed because why? Because she took dick and used dick all her life, and now she's old. There's no more leverage. There's no more edge. She can't manipulate and con someone. Next time you're walking past an old bag of shit, stop and marvel and laugh internally. You ain't fucking up no more man anymore, are you, bitch? If you have a chance to stark, you can run her over even. If you got a silencer on the end of your Glock or some shit like that, you can take her out. It's all over for you, slag. As you're walking past her. Now, that's all your internal voice. Can't use that shit in reality. But that's how much dick your bitch takes. That's how much dick chicks want all the time. That kind of dick will ensure that they're going to get somebody to pay their fucking bills, unlike you. Who the fuck can you get to pay your bill, simp? Nobody. Is nobody going to pay your bill? Who the fuck cares about some dude like you, a size 11 or 12 foot with a horseshoe baldness, and you drive around in a fucking truck that's 8 years old? She don't want you, man. She ain't going to pay for nothing for you. You're going out the hard way, some fucking public institution, some fucking free place where they put people like you ain't got any goddamn money. Not that bitch. It ain't going to happen unless you see some old bitch and her dick days are over and I can get back in it. And you're laughing like I do in bed every fucking night while I'm rotating the Glock on my fucking... I got a couple Colt revolvers with six shooters. I often just turn that... as I'm thinking of all this shit, man. So the King Cock double penetrator floated up to the surface, too. It floated up to the surface. The torso floated up to the surface. All things that everybody in this fucking world wants. Everybody dreams of dick. Everybody dreams of a torso, a tight pussy, a tight asshole. That's in everybody's fucking mind. And they know it because that's why there's laws against it, because they know everybody wants it. When there's no fucking law, you must be doing something really stupid. What are you polishing your metal detector loop? There's no laws against that because it's not in demand. It's not wanted. You polishing your goddamn garden tools? There's no fucking law against that. But there's laws against tight shitholes, tight cunts, aren't there? There's laws like that because everybody wants to do it. So the King Cock double penetrator and the dildo, the torso floated up and all that, and people complained about that. So the warden was really nice to me. This was in the last recording. I mentioned it. Super nice game warden. Nice, and not only nice, but horny. Horny for Norm Augustinus, and she would be. I'm 6'2.5 inches tall, 175 pounds, I've got green eyes, and I got a massive fucking dick. That's all anybody wants, any chick wants. Initially, they'll start pumping you. They're doing their discovery. That's how it works. Discovery, trying to figure out your finances, figuring out where you're coming from, your job and all that, and they'll take you on. They think, well, what the hell? I'll take a dick here while I'm on my route, on my path, going through life, finding out who I am, where I'm going, what I'm going to be. I'll take a dick. Why not? Well, fucking not. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things the world is showing you? That's what you're thinking. Where are you going to? Do you know? That's what she's thinking, aren't they? So the dildo and the torso pop up to the ground. I didn't get a citation. I didn't get a ticket, but the game warden likes me. Of course she likes me. She felt an automatic animosity. She felt an automatic feeling coming from me that I didn't like her because she had a badge and a gun on. And I don't like that. Nobody likes that. It's kind of intrusive. She felt that, and that turned her on. She felt that friction, that grit, that rawness in your correspondent. She thought, wow, he doesn't like that. Maybe I can hold the gun against the side of his temple, my game warden gun, while he's got 10 inches up my shithole. What a turn on. I dream of that shit. These bullets on my belt aren't bullets. They're cum capsules. And he's going to deliver the deadly bullet to my cunt to cum capsules. This is the shit that goes through a woman's mind. Why? Because they're nuts. They're nuts and they're in a world of their own. Never be fooled by a chick acting like she's acting like you. They're excellent shapeshifters. Whatever room they're in, they'll copy the room. They'll study the room. Whatever office environment they're in, they'll study the room. They'll pretend to be what everyone else is pretending to be. It's nuts, isn't it? 12, 15 chicks on a single floor. They're all imitating each other. It's a fucking horror show, isn't it? It's not like being with men. I'd be over there. And what would I do? I got a Super Bowl on my desk that I play with sometimes. As I walk past you, I'm going to fucking fire the Super Bowl into your fucking dick as I pass you. That's the shit men do. Because men know each other. Men are real. They're not fucking performing. I'm going to walk past your goddamn desk or some shit like that. I put my brass knuckles on it as I'm walking past your fucking head. I'm going to punch my fist in the side of your head and you're going to laugh and I'm going to laugh. That's not what's going on in a goddamn room with a bunch of chicks. They're all in there smelling pussy. All smelling pussy, all turned on. When a woman smells another pussy, what happens? They get turned on. They want to find that fucking dick that's turned on. They smell pussy. They know pussy's turned on. They got to find the location of the pussy that's turned on because there must surely be dick in the area, and they're all very competitive that fucking way. They're in a period. They all go off the period the exact same time, so they're never offline. That's how it used to work. Nah, they fuck, it doesn't matter when. They could be shitting in on their period, they'll still take a dick, and you won't say nothing about it. Come on, welcome in. I'm just a grand opening, motherfucker. So, the King Cock double penetrator dildo in the torso floored up. The game warden come to my house. She told me I had to move it. I felt a real vibration from her. I knew that we're going to be lovers. And I seen the car go by once or twice as I'm pulling out my dirt driveway. I live way off the fucking road. It takes me a dirt driveway to get to a paved driveway, a paved road to eventually. I saw her going by. Now, why is she going by? Because she can smell my fucking ball sack. She can smell my jism, can't she? Her legs are on the ground. All I got to do is get on the ground, stand somewhere. The vibrations of dick bouncing in some guy's drawers goes up her legs like 5-6 miles away, 10 miles, maybe thousands of miles. I don't really know. This is what pushes women to get in a plane and fly to fucking Italy. I'm going to Italy. Oh, Volare, man. I got some goddamn bread. Volare. Hey, Ragu, man. Walking on tree line canals and fucking whatever they're doing. Walking down rock streets. Hey, como esta ya fa? Hola, llama. Buffungu, motherfucker. As they're walking around looking for more dick. Can't get dick anywhere in the area. Because they fucked all the dick. Their reputation's gone. They got to get out of there because everyone's been fucked. Everybody's been housed by her. The cock's been housed by her cunt. So, the game warden says, that's fine, just move your shanty, which fell through the ice. Get it out of there. You got so many days to get it out. And that's great because now the ice is refrozen again. We got maybe an inch and a half to 2 inches, maybe more than that. 2 and a half, maybe three. A friend of mine told me, his name is Steve, and Stevie told me that it's 3 inches thick. I think he said 3 inches thick already because it's gotten cold again. It's snowing like shit and crazy, man. Talking a foot, 2 feet of snow has fallen where I live. And that's great for ice fishing all over again. So, here's what the other thing said, the citation. I get it, all that shit passes. I'm dreaming of her. I saved an engram of her in my mind so I could use it to beat off in the future, to pump off in the future of her and her badge, and she's wearing her badge, and her panties are off, and her gun's out, and her big jugs are out. I saved that engram. I designed it especially for me. It's in my brain. I can pull it up anytime and pull out my meat and pump off like most men do. I've saved that. And I'm looking at the citation. Over a hundred goddamn dollars. And what is a citation for? The citation is for what? It's an 8x10 photo of a woman. Now, the woman looks like Betty Page. That's the kind of pictures I like. The vintage pornographic pictures, the vintage nudes and all that. I like black and whites, 8x10s, poster size, small wallet size. I got thousands of them and they were inside my shanty. Not all of them, just enough to coat the walls. Inside the shanty, and some of them floated up when the shanty went down. One of the things that floated up was an 8x10 photo, and this is the one I got the fine on, the citation on, that I have to pay. One of them was an 8x10 photo of a woman taking, it looks like Betty Page, from the rear, and somebody has mounted a dog onto her ass, and the dog is fucking the woman. And I got a citation for that because it was floating on the surface of the water. Now, what I got to ask you, whatever was walking there, people ice fish there, they bring all kinds of family, they bring kids, they bring young daughters, all kinds of stuff. They bring onto the ice, they're supposedly having a family day. As they walk past that, what one bitch hasn't done something like that? They've all done stuff like that. You talk about hypocrites, there they go walking past my 8x10 photo of a Betty Page-like person. She had black hair and bangs, just a kind of a beautiful cutting-edge woman, kind of the kind of woman that all men really want in reality, not some goddamn chick ragging on them nonstop. Her fucking mouth is jawing and jawing and more jawing. Nobody wants that shit. This is the kind of woman everybody wants, though she probably would turn into that too. That's just the way, the nature, I guess, of a female. So the 8x10 picture looked like Betty Page. Look her up, you'll see what I mean. So people walk past that picture floating there. They didn't think of my fucking trauma. They didn't think of my personal loss. They didn't think of my financial loss. They didn't think of my inconvenience. They didn't think of me being temporarily suspended from the art of ice fishing. And it is an art, by the way. They didn't think of anything like that. What they thought was, my God, what a deviant. He has pictures of women getting mounted by dogs, and they're taking a dog dick from the rear. All women dream of that. Every chick I ever met says they dreamed of a fucking Doberman Pinscher pumping from the rear. They dreamed of fucking of a Cocker Spaniel pumping them from the rear. They dreamed of a fucking Alaskan Husky pumping them from the rear. I mean, the dogs go on and on. By the way, there's a couple dogs. The fucking one that once wears a barrel around his neck, his dick can get upwards of 15 inches in diameter. Now, who wouldn't want to pump that? The dog's not in any rest to come or anything like that. They all dream of shit like that, but they walk past my place where my shanty was, and they were stunned, man. I've been going to this same place, fishing on this same lake, right on top of my house, for a billion years. Now, what slut could have done that to me? Oh, my God. I'm in my house. I'm not getting dick. Nobody's asking me to fuck out. I've got no leads on anything. I hate all work. I have $50,000 in bills. I'm 6 payments behind in my car. I think I'll take this enjoyment away, this fucker, who likes looking at beautiful women getting banged up by dogs. I'm taking him down. See, at least they could make something happen. Other than that, they can make nothing happen. In another world, in another time, which it may be heading to, you'll be able to punch him in the head between the eyes with your fist. You'll be able to take him out with a nunchuck, and there won't be any outcry at all. They've done this to themselves.
I'll be right back.
It was just kind of hurt me to think I'm getting fined. What exactly am I getting fined for? I wasn't a naked picture. I wasn't a Betty Page-like woman. I wasn't a dog banging her from the rear. I wasn't a photographer that developed this picture. I wasn't the camera company, the film company that made the film to make this picture. In what way am I responsible? These are just fucking tools. They do the same thing all over social media, don't they? They're on their OnlyFans account selling their ugly gash all goddamn day. But I can't have my Betty Page photograph 8x10 of her getting this female getting banged out by a dog. It is a royal conversation piece. When people come into my shanty and the chicks he's at, they think this. Maybe you don't know this. They think this. Oh my God. This fucking guy's into sex, man. If he's into dogs banging out women, what could he do to me? That means all bets are off. I'm sick of Vanilla Fox. I'm sick of vanilla kissings and French kissings. I'm sick of all the vanilla shit I've been getting related to sex. This fucker's the real thing. I'm inside this shanty. I'm going to fuck him till my eyes pop. I'm going to fuck him till I go unconscious. And that's what usually happens when I fuck people. It's not a joke. I'm all in. If you come to my house, be prepared. If you come to my house, you better rub Ben Gay or Icy Hot between your thighs and along your area where your snatch is and around your buns, because you're going to be in pain. Icy Hot is some rub-on salve or something like that. You better do that. You better have that. You better have fucking compression socks on and shit like that, because you're going to need to send the blood to your pussy, because my cock's going to be housed in there. You wear compression socks. It forces the blood. It can't go any further than your ankles. Diabetics use them. And it forces all the goddamn blood to your hot box, slut. If you're a chick listening, that's the kind of person I am. I do it to you. I do it to your sister especially. Especially if you got twin sisters or something about them. If you're a redhead and you're size 3 and you got real orange hair, call me up, ring me up, man. I'm ready to drive it home on you. Not a joke. So I get a ticket. Citation, it said. It doesn't actually say it's a ticket for, I told you what it was, there's a splaying of something and something that floated up to the surface. Now, in reality, between you and I, it's a big lake. Why would that have to be my property? There's not other people in the lake that likes to see dogs get pump women out. There's not other people in the lake like to see a dick sunk deep inside some woman's fuck hole. The whole goddamn lake and everybody on it and everyone around it and everyone in the city, that's all they do. That's why a woman came to a man. She used sex to take advantage of him, to get a hold of his house and all that shit. Couldn't that have floated under the ice to my place where my shanty was? They didn't even give that a second thought. They just looked at me and said this. God, he's raw. I'd like to fuck him myself. I'd like to lick his cock. I'd like to lick his balls. I'd like to do all kinds of stuff. His dick is so big I can bend it around, stick in his shithole, and he can stick it in my... I'd like to do him, too. I got to stop these feelings of him. I got a citation. Citation, some dyke. That's who came to the door. Dykes have destroyed this country. 6 fucking dykes. Somewhere in the 1960s started, and it just exploded into these dummies because they are fucking so open to advertisement and commercials. Whatever you put in a commercial, a chick will immediately go out and buy. To go out and buy. So I want to talk about something else. So that's what happened. I got this citation, but I did meet the game warden. The other citation I got, I did meet this game warden woman, and I know we're going to be fucking. It was just great. She comes into the house, man. She's smelling the dope. She was getting turned on as she stood there. Once a chick's sugar walls start dripping all kinds of lubricant, that's the lubricant that comes out the sides of the sugar walls as your cock's going in. It's lubricating the dick. The minute a chick is turned on, the body doesn't get tricked. The mind knows better. It's 1 billion years old, a female mind. Once it starts lubricating the walls, the cunt knows before the chick knows that you're going to take a dick. That's why it's lubricating the walls. It's always been like that, man. It's not the chick doing it. It's the cunt doing it. Why? Because there's an egg in there. There's an egg that needs fertilization. If you're near a guy, it turns on the walls. The sugar walls come on. The dripping start happening. The opening happens. The egg's down there. Come get me. Come pump me. She doesn't even know she's interested. You know how hard that is to a woman? Turned on all the time? You don't, do you? Why would you know that? Go to work. 8-10 hours a day with a stupid imbecile that's your supervisor. Go there every night. Don't listen to this shit. Why is it turned on all the time? What is the point of all shit like that? Because what happens is that the pussy turns on a woman. I got to get going then. The pussy turns on a woman probably 30-40 times a day. That constant turning on, that constant dripping, that constant swelling, that constant blood flush engorging into the pussy, the constant, all that shit happening, it turns on, then it shuts off, and it dries up. Turns on, gets wet, dries up. Turns on, gets wet, dries up. Hundreds of times a fucking week. It wreaks havoc on the pussy. Do you understand that? So by the time you get to it, you might not get there when it was supposed to be prime. It turns on the pussy so much, and then you get to it. It's all cracked and shit. It's all crackly. It's all crackly and dry. There's layers of dryness, calluses building up in there, all kinds of stretch marks inside the cunt, all kinds of stuff. Like when a woman constantly takes a dick, they see doctors and they say, yeah, you got all kinds of stretchings happening in your colon, all kinds of ripping in there from taking a dick. Hundreds of times on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. That's traumatic to a woman's mind, isn't it? And they become especially susceptible to taking dick. And that's why it makes no sense that you're fucking home alone, motherfucker. There's pussy out there to conquer. And you can get it. Go for it, motherfucker. So I want to talk about something. And that is this. I know a woman up here. How much time I got? I know a woman up here And she makes crocheted blankets. This is the theory, but I think it's true. She makes crocheted blankets, and she has her own business in her house. And I know her. She'd like to be with me. I know that, too. She makes her own crocheted blankets in her house. They've got five or four women that work all day. Young women, not old women. She's told me once that she had older women, but they were too slow and she needed younger women. And she makes these crocheted blankets. And the crocheted blankets are selling like fucking crazy. You know what a crocheted blanket is? If you ever see a crocheted blanket, you're at a flea market, you're at a church sale, anything like that, always buy it. Why? Because hundreds of hours possibly went into that blanket. Unlike some gook who made the blanket in some chink factory. And you don't want that. Which one do you want? You want loving one that was created? Or you want the one that was created by a chink, a gook in some factory in somewhere in Taipei, Taiwan? I don't know where they made it. I don't want the one I just said. I want the one that's handmade. So if you ever see one, get that one. And when you're going to hear what I'm going to say next, you're going to understand why. Even more so, you should get this blanket, the one that's hand crocheted. So she's got five employees and they work out of their house, and I can walk to her house. The reason I can walk to people's houses where I am is because it's on a lake, and around the lake and all that, these houses are there, and I can walk to them. Or if I can't walk to them, I can simply walk to the one street that leads to them, and there's houses on that too. It's really been great that way. Remember, people want to be in water in the woods and all that. They're romanticists. They want peace. They want quiet. They dream of birds on tree branches. They dream of trees and counting the rings on a tree. They dream of the leaves falling in the fall. It's all romance to them. It's poetry that's alive, created by a creator. And they see all this stuff as this magical thing that's going on. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's true. So she's got this business. She's selling crocheted blankets. And I said, how many do you sell? She said, I've been shipping about 40 or 50 blankets a week. I said, wow, you're kidding. I said, you have machines on that? Let's call her, what I call her? Let's call her, I got her name in my head and it's blocked what I want to call her. Let's call her Penny. How about that? Let's call her Penny. Penny, it's Penny's like a portrait. It's got a head on it. And at least it used to. It has a head on it. It's like a portrait, and see Penny in that portrait. So let's call her Penny. Penny says to me, I got five people that do the crocheting and they work about 6 hour days at my house. And they crochet these beautiful blankets. And she sells 40 or 50 of them a week. Now, that's a lot of blankets. That sounds like something that should be in fucking a Burlington coat factory or something like that, making these things, because they're so cool. And they're really wanted. They're in demand. And why are they in demand? I looked it all over. I broke down the dynamics. I said, they're in demand. You've got five women sewing them. You've got crochet people working with crochet needles. There are these long things with like a hook on the end. You've got all these people. Sometimes they're different colors. They're made out of aluminum. They're really cool instruments. Let's see. She's got all these people. She's making these blankets. People seem to be buying them over other blankets. She lives out here in the middle of nowhere. She kind of likes your correspondent, Norm Augustinus. Now, I can make them like me more, but it would be manipulation. It would be a con. I want them to like me just the way they like me. I don't want to come in and put on a fucking performance for anybody. Not ever. And if I ever become that, then I need somebody to, you know, do something about it. Garrote me or something like that. So she says to me, hey, Norm, your birthday's coming up. And I got a place right here. You know where it is. How about you come over to my house and you stay the night and we tell ghost stories? That's the kind of woman she is. We tell ghost stories. You can learn about my business. You can stay the night over. She said, I'll make a dinner and all that stuff. Because why? Because I have everything that a woman wants. I have it all. I know them in and out. They know this. And so they're more realistic. They don't go into this bipolar bullshit or whatever they do of manipulation, con, deceit, and all that. So I say to Penny, that sounds good. I'd like to see that. And I really want to see how she's selling many blankets and how the five women are selling the blankets. I want to see how they're selling and making five crocheted blankets, selling 30 or 40 of them a week at this woman's house. So I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. That sounds good. I said, will you have a present for me, Penny? Because it is my birthday. She said, yeah, I'll have a present for you too. Now, how could you beat that? Instead of the hard working, unthankful fucking hours you put in, the nonstop battering of your mind, the people who want to kill you while you're goddamn driving, look how I've made it. You can design the life that you want. You can invent any reality that you want. You have to understand that. And that's what I've done. So I go to Penny's house. And I don't know what time it was, early in the day. It gets dark in Michigan at 5 o'clock. It's blackout. Kind of really screws you up. So I go in and I see the five women. I'm introduced to all the five women. They're all crocheting by a big glass window that's very long, like a landscape window, a huge landscape window. And the chicks are really not bad looking. I mean, there's no fatties in there. There's no fucking fatties or no goddamn minorities. There's nothing like that. Just white chicks crocheting. We have something in common. We eat the same foods. We know how white people are. We're socialized the same fucking way. And I say, that's great. That sounds great. I'm in. So I show up. And that day we go sit in another room and she gives me candy and she burns Nag Champa incense. I like that incense, by the way. It's really relaxing. I used to smell an incense when I was in Vietnam when we were fucking in a helicopter. We were in a Huey helicopter and they would lower me down, or we would lower a rope down with a dildo on it with a Huey helicopter, and all the gooks, all the VCs in the area, they would see that dildo, they'd climb that fucking rope, and they'd come up and we'd fuck them and then throw them out the other side of the door while we're smelling Nag Champa incense. It's like something you could never write, never make up ever in any way. So I'm in the other room, we're talking, and then it's getting dark, it's getting later. I could feel that maybe she wants to pump me. You know how you can feel that. That she wants to pump me, my balls are probably putting out pheromones, my armpits are putting out pheromones, the sweat coming down the side of my head putting out pheromones, and I'm everything that she wants. So as I'm sitting there, I notice that she's got one of the blankets on me on my waist. That I start to pop an enormous rod. And I don't think it's Penny because it hasn't been that kind of conversation. But I start to pop an enormous rod. When I get up, and walk away, when I get up and walk away, when I try to hide my enormous rod, I don't want her to see it, make a bad impression, like I'm there with my stump and shit, the conqueror, or any kind of mentality like that. When I get up and excuse myself and go to the bathroom, I see that my rod drops down. My big Mandinko warrior, my dick, my 15.5-pound dick, it's 14 and a half inches long, it's the truth, you know the story about it. I notice that the dick goes down. And that's good. That's a relief because there's fucking five women out there and there's she's out there and I'm walking around with a big dick. It's just not appropriate. It doesn't fit in the environment. It's just not a good fit, like an HR person might say, an HR person. So when I go back out and I put the blanket on me again, I start to pop another rod. I start to pop a rod. And again, I got to get back up. And I say to myself, I'm not going to go near Penny again that close. It's really late. She has offered to make up my room and all that. And I say, that sounds good. She's going to make breakfast in the morning. And I said, that all sounds good. So I don't get back under the blanket because I think it's Penny that's making me pop the rod. And I don't want that to happen again. I want to go to the bed. I want to wake up in the morning. There's five chicks out there. It's all kind of cool. So the whole house is filled with all kinds of, you know, pheromones and shit from chicks. When I'm in the bedroom, I'm advancing this. When I'm in the bedroom, it's early now, too, kind of early, but the women are still working. When I'm in the bedroom, I notice I pop a rod again, a big rod, and I start to do calculations. I start to do computations. I start to do deductions. I'm deducing all over the fucking place, trying to figure out, why am I popping the rod? Yeah, there's all kinds of estrogen in the air. There's six chicks in the house. Is it the estrogen? No, it's not the estrogen. It's nothing like that. It's not the estrogen. I've been in rooms with other chicks. I've been in big classrooms with chicks, filled with chicks at university. I didn't pop a rod in there. So I discount that. And then I start to make all these conclusions. I start to do the computations, as I said. And I come up with this. Now, you tell me if this is impossible, what's going on with regards to her crochet's blankets, Penny's crocheted blankets, 40 blankets she sells all the fucking time every week, five girls there, she's out there sewing too, they're shipping them all over the U.S. and all kinds of stuff like that. She's successful, honest to God. I would like her. She's that successful. I like people like that. So as I'm laying in a bed, I pop another rod. And I think, what is it? Why am I popping a rod? Why am I popping a rod constantly when I'm in this bed? Got another blanket on me and I came to this. You tell me if this doesn't sound fucking possible, fuckstick. I think this is what's going on. And it's been on my mind nonstop. I think that the chicks sewing these blankets, remember what I told you, they're not old, they're young. They're sewing these blankets, crocheting these blankets with crochet needles and crochet hooks or whatever they call them. They're crocheting with these things. While this is on a woman's laptop, on her lap, I was going to say laptop, while it's on her lap, what's going on there? All kinds of pussy farts. Pussy fart after pussy fart after pussy fart is coming out their snatch. And that pussy fart is impregnating the fibers, the yarn they use on these fucking crocheted blankets, impregnating each and every thread of the crocheted blanket as it's on her lap. They're blowing pussy farts. Their pheromones are going up on there. Possibly all kinds of stuff. Maybe when they blow gas from their ass. I'm not sure. It's female gas. They can tell the difference between female gas and male gas. I don't know if you know that. But I think that the pheromones, I think that the pussy farts going into the blankets, the minute I put it over me, what's happening? It's like there's a chick laying on me. You get it? There's a woman laying on me and I'm popping a rod ready to insert my cock in her hole, except there's not a woman on top of me. There's no hole to fucking pop my rod and jam my rod into because it's not real, because it's in the blanket. Her essence, her person, her pussy farts, composed of all sorts of shit, by the way, amino acids, all kinds of stuff is in that pussy fart. Gases of all shapes and sizes are going into this. Nitrates are going into these blankets and impregnating. Is that why these blankets are selling so much, 40 blankets a week, that men are buying the blankets? My plan was to ask her in the morning, but I forgot to ask her who her customer mainly is. Are men buying these blankets because they're popping rods, and then women are using the men because of the popped rod, pull the blanket off and then pump them when he puts it back on? You know what I mean? Like an addition, like an aid, like a boner pill? These are like boner blankets, boner crocheted blankets, and it's the five chicks out there. So here's what kind of happened in the morning. And I'm not proud of myself. I don't know what could happen. And I've thought about it extensively. I don't know if there's some law of what I did, what I've done was wrong or inappropriate or unethical. I don't really know. I popped a rod so big because of this blanket. It must have been me breathing in, and I don't know what else. You know, your pores breathe and all that. So when the blanket's on you, your pores are breathing this shit in, this stink in, these pussy farts in, on the laps of these women's, on the torso of these women. What is a torso? It's 103 degree torso that's heating up the essence of the girl, her snatch area, her torso area. It's heating it up and baking it into the crocheted blanket and all these essences of the females in it. So then I come out of the room in the morning. And I said to other people, I said, would you say this in a recording? Would you admit to something like this in a recording? They said, yeah, why not? What the fuck is going to happen? You're just having intercourse. You're supposed to have intercourse. That's what a woman and a man do. Men don't fuck because they don't do that kind of stuff unless you're a fucking fruit. That's what you're supposed to do. Like that chick I met at the newspaper that I worked at once. She said, you just want to have sex with me. I said, what else would I be with you for? Conversation? And that's not being rude. That's what it's for. She had a dong. I wouldn't have been there with her. That didn't make any sense to me, that what she said. So when I came out, the chicks were there. When I came out, they saw the bulge in my pants. I told you I got a 15.5-pound cock. It's 14 and a half inches long. When they came out, they saw my underpants. They saw the huge bulge, and I didn't give a flying fuck because I'm all in. Always, wherever I go, I'm all in. Life is really short, and I know it's cliche to say that, but it's super true. There's five goddamn hot boxes out there, and the other fucking woman, there's five fucking hot boxes and a sixth hot box. What am I going to do, walk away? I did shit like that when I was 16 years old, when I had women all over me like that. I walked away. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? I got so brazen, so strong, so brutally powerful, so understanding of way things work that I could be dropped into a fucking rice paddy in Vietnam and fuck everybody in a rice paddy, and that's what I did to this house. When I came out with my schlong in the morning, man. When I came out, I heard fucking crochet hooks hitting the floor one after another. Ting-ding-ling-ling, ting-ding-ling-ling, ching-ting-ling-ling. That's the metal hitting the fucking hardwood floor. They were hitting the floor because they saw my dick. They saw their fucking destiny, and it's the truth. And one by one, and I told them this. I said, bend over on that chair. Everybody bend over on your chair. I don't know how long I can hold it. I don't know how long I can keep my load intact in my bag. Bend over on the chair. Should have heard the crochet needles. I hear them every night when I go to bed now. These beautiful sounds of crochet needles hitting the floor, dropping a distance of 4 feet and hitting the goddamn floor. Ting-ling-ling-ling. It was over then. They were hypnotized, mesmerized, stupefied by my goddamn big meat in my pants. Why? Because I told you. That's all chicks think about. They want truckloads of dick. They want freight cars filled with dick. They want cargo planes filled with dick. They want scuba divers, fucking armies of them coming towards their house with big dicks. This is all women think about is dick. And they all bent over the chair without any questions. They could smell my cock. They could hear my cock. They could hear that in their hearing. That's what women do. They pick up the sound of dick in their ears. They feel through their legs, their fucking receiving units. And I banged each one of them from the rear. Bam, bam, bam. This is not a joke. I don't tell jokes. This is not something manufactured. You can't manufacture shit like this. How could anybody talk like this if they didn't do it? I've done it, and I'm telling you the truth. It happened, and I banged them all from the rear, man. Even Penny, I banged from the rear. And they must have known possibly the power of these blankets, the power of these crocheted blankets. What they can do to a man, how they can break down his psyche. And I think that when she sends these out, maybe you could get one. You'll pop a boner, you'll pop a rod, and your wife will jump you right away because you have the biggest rod in the world because five chicks were involved in making that crocheted blanket. Their pheromones, their pussy juices, their gases coming out of their crotch, the heat of the essence of their torso, like some kind of bizarre distilled homemade perfume going into the blanket, in and staying there, freezing in there.
Pardon me, fuckstick.
I just pumped them all. I pumped every fucking one of them, and I will do it again. I'll pump them all every goddamn time. I don't know why, but I will. I'll pump them all. That's not disrespectful. That's nature. They want the dick. They want the meat, don't they? You're helping them out. They want it. I pumped them all at Penny's house.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder. Eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year. Maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Eleanor, how are you? I hope things are fine in your neck of the woods. Well, I wanted to write to you and alert you to something that recently happened to me. I went snow skiing over the last weekend. I was at Mount Holly in Holly, Michigan. I have only snow skied a few times. Well, I went down one of the starter slopes. It was a beautiful day and the snow machines were blasting snow onto the slope. When I got to the bottom of the snow-covered slope, I found a large piece of fabric. Lying next to the piece of fabric was a used knotted-off condom that was filled with a load of bubbling cum. There was also a wrapper that once contained a hoagie sandwich gotten from Hoagie World at Mount Holly. It looked like there was still some uneaten hoagie inside the wrapper, so I pulled the wrapper open. Well, it wasn't a piece of uneaten hoagie. It was a heavily soiled pair of women's panties. From here on in, I'll refer to the panties as cum panties. A strong odor of pussy was coming off the cum panties. Some of the snow near the hoagie wrapper looked like it had been painted by someone using watercolors. Weird, huh? And then it hit me. Well, I deduced that a man and a woman came down the slope. They were laughing, and he was paying for everything. When they got to the bottom of the slope, the man tore out the insulated stylish designer fabric that covered the woman's ass, and he drove his rock-hard cock into her cunt and shithole. It looked like it was a very expensive ski suit. While the woman was on all fours, the $350 worth of makeup covering her face got smeared onto the snow. I know I am right. The woman never took off her panties. There were 2 2-inch in diameter dick holes blown through the crotch of her cum panties. One hole for her ass and one hole for her pussy. L, there were thick cum stains embedded in the fabric of the panties. There wasn't a stitch of panty fabric that hadn't been soaked in chism. When the man and the woman were done fucking, they each feasted on the hoagie sandwich. The rubber was still warm. When I found the foot-long stretched-out used rubber, it had melted its way down through the snow 3 or 4 inches at least. Eleanor, the man and the woman came to Mount Holly to fuck. So what else is new? That poor fucker. What a goddamn rube. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write me back when you can. I always enjoy getting your letters. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the cannoli shop off Main Street. I didn't know your big-titted little sister worked there. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she walked to the cannoli shop door and she flipped the open sign to closed. Then your big-titted little sister gestured for me to come onto the other side of the counter. While I was rubbing your big-titted little sister's enormous, perspiring melons, she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she lied down on the stainless steel mixing table mounted to the bakery wall. When your big-titted little sister pulled her knees to her ears, I impaled your big-titted little sister's tight cunt with a fresh cannoli. It was soaked with vaginal juices. And then, together, we ate the cannoli. While your big-titted little sister fingered her clitoris, I ate her out. And then I gave your big-titted little sister a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister, the bakery door opened, and a woman sporting heels that made loud clunking sounds entered, and she walked behind the counter. While I licked your big-titted little sister's tight asshole and made moaning sounds, the woman said,
I smell a cannoli that has been screwed into a wet, hungry pussy. I know about wet pussy. I've had a wet pussy since I was 14 years old. My pussy is wet 3 times a day. It needs meat, and it needs it now. I'm not here to cause trouble. I just want to be a part of this scene, man. I want to lie on that stainless steel table next to your whore, and I want baked goods crammed into my fuckhole also. And I want to be eaten out and rimmed. Sometimes I shit when someone messes around with my genitals. I hope the both of you are adult enough to handle that. This is my scene now. Make me a part of it. Pleasure me, and this whole ordeal will go as smooth as silk. Take that cannoli off the rack and cram it into my quivering pussy now.
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, right now we're selling 1-year memberships to our amazing satellite photograph service. What is a satellite photograph service? Well, let me tell you. When you subscribe to our satellite photograph service, you'll get a beautiful 14-karat gold ring. Girls, this ring is an electronic masterpiece that communicates with our overhead orbiting satellite. Whenever and wherever you are in the world and you're lying on your stomach or on your back or on your side taking the dick, this state-of-the-art attractive gold ring will talk to the satellite, and the satellite will lock its camera onto you and begin taking dozens of close-up images of you while you take the cock. Remember the time your makeup got smeared into the freshly fallen snow as you took the dick in your ass on the ski slope? Honey, the photos are in the mail. Remember the time you were lying on a blanket and sucking Toby's big cock while you rubbed his balls during a romantic off-road picnic? Honey, the photos are in the mail. Do you remember the time you fucked that big dick smiling Muslim behind the mosque? Girl, the photos are in the mail. The amazing ring that you get at no cost when you subscribe to our satellite photo service can detect when vaginal lubricant and semen get mixed together. And at that point, the satellite camera zooms in on you. Remember the time when you humped the arm of your sofa in the living room? There were traces of semen on the sofa arm left over from the time you sucked your neighbor's cock. And when that semen mixed with your pussy juices, your ring automatically got activated and notified the satellite 5 miles up. Yes, the satellite found you by zooming in and looking through your enormous sliding patio windows. The photos will always be in the mail when you subscribe to our satellite photo service. Come on up to the counter right now and get this revolutionary photo service. Only $149.99 per year. Hurry, I've got limited satellite photo memberships available. As I've mentioned, it comes with a gorgeous gold electronic ring that will awe and amaze your friends. The lithium battery inside the ring will last 10 years. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit onto the marble floor inside the men's room on the third floor. According to the third floor manager, Mandy was collecting pubic hairs that had fallen off men's balls, and by using tweezers, she was able to place those pubic hairs onto her own pubic mound. Ms. Phelps believed the men's pubic hairs planted throughout her own hairy pubic mound surely meant that she must have been taking the dick sometime throughout her day. For Mandy Phelps, it's a turn-on. While she planted the men's ball hairs onto her minge, her pussy dripped. Eventually, the vaginal lubricant flowed onto the door of her closed, shut asshole, which suddenly opened due to her vaginal drippings. Cunt cream works just like WD-40, ladies and gentlemen, and it's all natural. While Miss Phelps sorted the pubic hairs, she slipped on a pussy puddle that had developed on the floor between her legs. When she slipped, she did the splits, and then she shit onto the marble floor. My assistant has irritable bowel syndrome, and she is extremely horny.
My roommate is always coming home at 4 or 5 in the morning, and there are men's pubic hairs in her hair, or the men's pubic hairs are lodged in her pubic mound. It makes me so fucking jealous. Sometimes men's pubic hairs are stuck to the rim of her asshole. I want that. I want to come home and have fistfuls of men's pubic hairs caught up in my pubic mound. I want my black roommate to see that. I need dick. If I had dick, his pubic hairs would be all over me. It would be real. Oh, Jesus, I think I am shitting. All I do is shit. I'm a shitting horny thing. Stop laughing at me. I'm gonna take every one of you bastards out. Goodbye.
Attention maintenance! Please head over to the third floor men's restroom. Mandy Phelps from the main first floor information desk is lying on her side, and she requires assistance. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Oh.
Fuck!
Oh.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.